نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الخاسرون.
All those of you who believe, fear Allah, and let each soul look at what it has put forth for the morrow, and fear Allah, Allah knows all that you do, and do not be like those who have forgotten Allah, for their souls or themselves have forgotten themselves, and they are the fasiqoon, they are the rebellious ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues after أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ by saying لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. After explaining who the rebellious ones are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, indeed it's not equal the people of the fire and the people of the Jannah or the Paradise. The people of Paradise, indeed, they are the winners. They are the successful ones. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون.
And if we had brought down this Quran on a mountain, you would have seen it trembling with the fear of Allah. And this is how we bring the examples forth to mankind, so that they will think, or that they will understand. So here we see, many times we've talked about taqwa before, but one of the other things that maybe we need to understand so that we can have the taqwa is our relationship with our Creator. We have to see and understand and not forget this, because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after telling us to fear Him, has told us, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who have forgotten Allah, for their souls have forgotten themselves. And then we have also told that they are the rebellious ones. So many times we can see that our lack of understanding or thinking, or our forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, causes us to be of these rebellious types and causes us to not have the sufficient taqwa that we need. So let us understand what we are, where we are, why we were created, and what our relationship with our Creator is or should be. Subhanallah, Allah currently has given us a lot more understanding of the space, the galaxies, and the universe than we used to have. Alhamdulillah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the changing of the day and the night, verily in it are signs for those of understanding. So these are signs for us. And now that we have more understanding than the people that came before us, if we look at the skies and the heavens, and we look at earth, what is the earth? Previously, most of mankind used to think that the earth was like the center of the universe. The moon went around it, the sun went around it, and everything went around it. And they thought everything was just centered around the earth. And now, what do we see? We see that earth is a small planet. Even in our solar system, if you look at it, if you were just looking at our solar system itself, from afar, maybe you will not even see Earth. What about the galaxy? The whole solar system in the galaxy is so small that you would barely see it. Or maybe you wouldn't even see it. It's like a sand in the desert.
This is the insignificance of the earth and the solar system. And even our galaxy, if you look at it from among the galaxies, is just a galaxy. And there are many, 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 many galaxies. And now we understand the difference between, or the difference and the distance between these galaxies and even these stars. To get to some of even the closer stars to us would take millions of light years away. That means even if you could travel at the fastest speed that we know of, which is light, you would take thousands of years to get to some of these stars. So this should show us the insignificance of the earth. And what about the human on it? The human is smaller than an ant is to you compared to the earth. Forget the galaxy and the solar system. Right? If you were in the moon, can you see the human? You can't see a single one. Forget the moon. If you were just in a plane, you cannot see the people walking down underneath you. They are so small. And this, subhanallah, should show us the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His exalted power. He has created the universe, the galaxy, the solar system, and everything. And for Him to create such a thing is easy. أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ سَيَكُونَ. If He wants something to happen, all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say is be, and it is. And what are we? We are a small little creation that is on this small little earth, that is in this small little solar system. So we should see our place. And subhanallah, the more we learn about this, for the believer, the more they increase in iman. They see the qudra, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much He has really created. Whereas when the kuffar see and gain knowledge about the galaxies and the universe, they increase in kufr. They think, oh, now this proves that Allah doesn't exist. Whereas subhanahu wa ta'ala, it proves the opposite. It proves just exactly how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And given all of this, then we should see our place and we should see our relationship to the Creator of everything, of the universe, of all these solar systems and these stars. And we should see how small we are and how many times, being so insignificant as we are, we dare to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we dare to argue with his signs and his ayahs and with the ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we should understand then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I do not create the jinn and the ins except that they worship me. So this is why we were created, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Him, to be His slaves and His servants. To be a servant to someone, we must serve Him. We must live our lives in a way which He has ordered us to do. That is serving, because otherwise we are not serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are serving either ourselves or the kuffar or some other group. But if we want to serve and to fulfill the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, then we should take this to heart. And we should see where then, if we are serving Him, where are we spending our time? Where are we spending our energies? Where are we spending our money? Is it to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it to serve other things or other goals? And as we mentioned many times, just saying that we are Muslim and that we believe isn't enough. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, الْإِسْلَامُ مِيمُ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Did the people think that they will be left to say we believe and they are not tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And verily we tested those who came before them, and Allah will surely know those who were truthful and those who lied. So this is something that we need to ask ourselves. Are we truthful in our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in our service to Him? And again, to prove that it is not enough to just say we believe, look at the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of when He created Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُّوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ.
When your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to create a man from tin, from clay or mud, and when I fashion him and breathe into him my soul, then prostrate down to him.
فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ.
And all the malaika, all of them, they prostrated.
إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ اسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
Except Iblis, he was proud and haughty, and he was from the kafir.
قال يا إبليس ما منعك أن تسجد لما خلقت بيدي.
وسبحانه وتعالى said يا إبليس, what prohibited you from bowing down to what I created with my from prostrating to what I created with my hands.
قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين.
He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from mud. So look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to him, and yet he is from the kuffar. Not only that, later on he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first says,
قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. قال رب فأنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون.
After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to get out and that he's outcast, he says, my Lord, wait upon me until the day that they are brought forth, meaning to not kill him. Which shows you that even Iblis admits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his Lord. And he doesn't disbelieve in his existence. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to him, and he is talking back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it shows us that still he was from the kuffar, that he ignored the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put it behind his back, and he saw himself as haughty and he put himself above the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should make us think, and this should make us recognize our Lord and see ourselves and humble ourselves to Him. It sounds simple, but we should judge to see, are we succeeding in this or are we not succeeding? Do we live our lives in service to our Lord, or are we not living our lives in that way? Are we investing our time and our energy in that fashion? Are we bringing up our kids in this fashion where they view themselves as the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they view themselves that they were created to worship and to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many times we don't think about these things. How many years do we send our kids to school? We send them to school when they are what? 5 years old? Sometimes earlier. Until, if they finish up to college, that's until age 21, 22. And that doesn't include higher education like masters or whatever. So that's 15, 16 years. That is maybe a fourth of the average lifetime. And why are we sending them to these schools? And many times we have to pay money and we have to do this and do that and take them there. Why? Because we want them to have a better future. Is this not right? In spite of the fact we don't know if they're going to live that long. Maybe he's going to die when he's 21. So he graduates from the school, he dies the next day. Or he dies before. Do we have any guarantees? There are no guarantees. But in spite of this uncertainty, we are willing to send them to school. Why? Because we want them to have a better future. So if we want truly to have for them and for us to have a better future, then we should really see what the future is, for what it is for. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to be mindful of what we have put forth for the morrow. And the real morrow and the real future is the next life. Right? Because then there is no death. So when this boy or girl graduates from school or whatever, how many years do they have to live? Some short life, 30, 40, 50 years and maybe less. And for this we spend time and we spend energy. But are we spending the time and energy for the next life, which is forever? Can you imagine the difference between forever and 40 years? Or even 1,000 years? Can you imagine the difference between these? One never ends. But yet, we forget this thing many times. And that is why we forget to prepare ourselves and our children for the real life. And to give another example. When, for example, the policeman or whatever tells you to put your hands up or to lie down or do this or that, people do it. Why? Because they're scared. Yet when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the universe and who created everything, tells us to do things, we many times forget. Or we do not fear Him as we should, and we don't take it to our hearts. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to taqwa, He even mentioned ayahs of khashya, which is more closely translated to fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ لِئَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَاخْشَوْنِي وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. The ayah is in reference to when the Qibla changed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to face the Masjid al-Haram wherever he set forth and wherever he was. And then he says, so that people will not have an argument against you. And except of those who illa zalamu, except those who are repressive or are unjust. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ, and do not fear them. وَخْشَوْنِي, and fear me. وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ, and so that I may complete my favor upon you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and so that you may be guided. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete His favor, we need to have this fear, and we need to put things in perspective, and we need to put really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His qudra and His power in the proper place that it belongs. And another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْشَوْا النَّاسَ وَاخْشَوْنِ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And do not fear the people, and fear me. And do not buy with my signs or my ayahs a small price. And whoever does not rule with whatever Allah has brought down, then they are the disbelievers. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And this is what really frees us. And that is why when the Sahaba, when they went to spread Islam, one of the things some of the Sahaba used to say was what? They said, we came to take you out from the worship of servants to the worship of the Lord of the servants. Why? Because if we understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we understand His place and our relationship in respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then really we will really not fear anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you are freed. Now you don't fear the zalim as you used to, because you know the one who has real power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who created all the universe. All He has to say is be, and the whole universe would disappear if He wanted to, right? What? And now we fear, you know, what is the most powerful weapon we know? Atomic weapons or whatever? Can they destroy the universe? The sun is just atomic explosions taking place one after the other. Is it destroying the universe? No. Is it creating the universe? No. But this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the power that we are forgetting, and why we are fearing others. And we are refusing to say the truth when we need to say the truth. So we should look at our hearts and see, do we really fear Allah as He should? And we should remember the ayah that we read previously, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And if we had sent down this Qur'an on a mountain, you would have seen it humbling itself and rendering asunder by the fear of Allah. Such are the examples we put forward to mankind so that they will think. Right? So these mountains even will shake if the Qur'an had been sent to them. So do we want to be like the Jews who came before us? And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, that their hearts became as hard as stones, or even harder. Harder, why? Because even the mountain shakes from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the Qur'an, because of the Qur'an, if it had come down to it. Yet, we many times argue with the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we forget it and we put it behind our back. And there are many examples. But one of the clearest, I just want to give you to you very quickly, is as we should view ourselves and see, do we put these ayahs behind our backs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
Those who eat riba, they will not come up on, except as one who the shaitan has swiped. That's because they have said, verily, trading is like riba, and Allah has made trading halal and riba haram. So whoever has gotten an admonishment from his Lord and he gives it up, then his amr or his decree is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever returns to it, then they are the people of the fire, hum fiha khalidun. They will be in it eternally. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in another ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَتَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. All those of you who believe, fear Allah and put behind you whatever remains of riba, if you indeed believe, and if you don't do that, then prepare or be forewarned of a war from Allah and His Messenger. The reason I'm bringing this out is because this is in the Quran, and not only that, we have in the Sahihain, the hadith is muttafaqun alayh, that riba is one of the seven destructive sins. Not only that, in Sahih Muslim, we have the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, which says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed the one who eats riba and the one who feeds it. And in a narration in Tirmidhi as well as others, the one who eats it, the one who feeds it, and those two witnesses, and the one who writes it down. All of these are cursed. And yet, given these ayahs and these ahadith, we should look and see, are we putting this behind our backs, or are we taking it too lightly and trying to find excuses or looking for fatwas? The fatwas did not save the Ahlul Kitab. They went to their book, their ruhban, and they took them as arbaba, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took them as lords. And when one person asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about that, they said, they didn't take them as lords, meaning they only worship Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, didn't they make their ruhban, their priests, and their rabbis, didn't they make halal what Allah made haram, and made haram what Allah made halal? That is taking of lords. So given the clear ayahs and given the clear ahadith, we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, this is only one example of the many examples, but it is so clear because it's in the Quran, in the sahih ahadith. And there are many examples for that. And maybe unfortunately we've forgotten that
really for us to have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. And it's not for a believing man nor a believing woman if Allah and His Prophet decree something for them to have a choice after their decree.
ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا.
And whoever disobeys Allah and His Prophet, then clearly he has strayed astray very clearly. So this is something that we should think to ourselves and try to see, because our religion is a religion of implementation and is a religion of submission. So we should see, have we really submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have we really put ourselves in the place that we should be as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just before I sit down, brothers, there's some gaps over here. Please fill them out before, so that brothers who came in late can sit down. قُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين, والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد, we also have to remind ourselves that, as we said, the future is really belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is really the next life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us great things. He has promised us a Jannah, and He has promised us fruit and bounty not ever ending. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us life in which there is no more sickness and there is no more sadness. And this is the thing that we really need to work for. If we're willing to work 15, 16 or 20 years to get a degree or to get a master's or a PhD, can't we work a little bit more just so that we will have the real retirement? For that, in this, the retirement in this world, brothers, you retire when you're very old. And you may have enough money, you may not. You may be sick, you may not. But the next life, the retirement therein, if inshallah we're able to enter this Jannah, then there is no more sadness, there is no more sickness, and it lasts forever. This is a bargain that no one else can give you. And all we need to do is realize our place as servants in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator. And even though the kuffar, they don't realize it, but even they are servants. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
إِنَّ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدًّا.
Verily, all that is in the heavens and the earth, they will all come to the Rahman, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَبْدًا, as servants. So we really need to value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word, and we need to value the Quran and put it in front of us as a guiding force for us and not behind our backs. And talking about this, I just also want to remind us that one of the ways, of course, is to follow the Quran and what it says. But another thing that many times we ignore is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in the Quran. He has said, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Read the Quran with tarteel. And in fact, it's mentioned, it's double emphasis if you know Arabic. وَرَتِّلْ is the verb form. الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And then تَرْتِيلْ is how to do it. So you're doing تَرْتِيلْ with تَرْتِيلْ. There's double emphasis. And it's a فعل أمر. Which means, in أصول الفقه, if you have an أمر from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless you have something else that can show you otherwise, it means it is a فرض. And many times we forget this. And I should remind you that there's إجماع of the علماء that if you miss... For example, if you mispronounce letters and change them to another letter, or even the harakas, knowingly or because you refuse to go and learn the Quran, then you get a sin, and it is haram for each of the times that you do this. So for example, instead of saying الَّذِينَ, you say الَّذِينَ, or as opposed to ضالين, you say ضالين. This is the changing of a harf with a harf. This is haram. And all we need to do is go and spend some time. And even for the Arabs, because the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and even for the Arabs, the tarteel, the Quran was revealed from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with tarteel. It didn't just come down in, it came down in Arabic, but it came with more than that. there are rules to the tartil. There are times when you're supposed to prolong, there are times when you're not supposed to prolong. There are rules for this, and it came down as such. So even from the Arabs, or even the non-Arabs, once they learn how to pronounce it properly, then the next thing to do is learn the rules of tartil, because that's how it came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam transmitted on to Sahaba, also the Sahaba radhiyallahu alaihim, and that's how they transmitted to the people who came after them. And a lot of, especially the older ulama, they saw any mistake in either the tartil rules or the mistake of the huruf, of course, as haram. Some of the later ulama, they had difference of opinion whether everyone has to learn the rules of tajweed. And many of you may be wondering about what the difference between tajweed and tartil is. Comes from Imam Ali radiallahu anh, was asked, what is tartil? And he radiallahu anh said, tajweed al-hurufi wa ma'rifat al-wuquf, meaning the beautification of the huruf, the letters, and knowing the stops, meaning you have to know when to stop and not to stop, so you don't change the meaning of the ayah. And this is how, in fiqh, they mean the same thing, although colloquially they are used for different things, meaning some people use it for the slow recitation, tajweed, or the faster one for tafteen. But the fiqh, it's the same thing. And we should spend some effort. And alhamdulillah, I heard that the Shaykh Fazl is going to be offering some classes on this. So I encourage all of you to take this, because here you have an opportunity to learn the Quran as it came down. So here's a good opportunity that you should not miss. And also it is to make sure that we follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And let us think how many years we have spent learning English. Why? Because we want to get better jobs or better this or better that. So we should also spend time learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to end with an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very nicely reminds us, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O my servants who have wronged themselves, do not give up hope on the rahmah or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily Allah forgives the sins, all of them. And He is the إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is the most forgiving, most غفور. The best translation I can think of is now, I'm sorry, I cannot think of the right word, so I don't want to say the wrong word. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. And turn to your Lord and submit to Him before the adab comes, before the punishment comes, and then you will find no victory. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do, and this is something that we should take to ourselves and to our hearts, so that we may be successful in this life and in the next life. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a, wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا ومن ذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. And I also want to pray for our brothers here and elsewhere, those that are under hardship, as many times we have mentioned in the khutbahs before. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, and may He guide them in this world and in the next world. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان يا ربنا وادخلنا الجنة وارزقنا الشهادة في سبيلك. آمين. أقم الصلاة.